Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Oh my gosh, another Jake and Stacy, and I am so excited to start the show with this news. I'm just going to jump right into it, Jake. Jake Heaps is with me, DJ Wilder on the board. I'm Stacy Ross from Jeff Passan. Jeff retweeted yesterday, outfielder Jared Kelenic, the number three prospect in baseball, is expected to be called up by the Mariners on Thursday. Sources familiar with the situation tell ESPN. He adds, while things can obviously change, the plan is to promote Kelenic for the first game of Seattle's home series versus Cleveland. That is their next series. They've got one against the Dodgers starting off here today, and we're going to talk a bit about that. But let's talk about what matters first, Jake. Jared Kelenic finally making his MLB debut, and I gotta admit,
yes,
you and I made a bet. I don't know what the terms of it were, because we hadn't even had a chance to establish it. It was so recent. It was last Wednesday, and I said, absolutely no way, 0% chance the Mariners bring up Jared Kelenic before, I don't know, May 15th, I think was the random date we threw out there, and you said, I could potentially see it happening, and here we are, with me, the loser, and you, I hate to say this, I really do it, every fiber of my being, the winner.
Yes. Yes, thank you, Stacy.
It doesn't feel good.
I was not sure if you were going to come out to the people and be honest from the beginning. And I'm glad. The truth has set you free.
No.
Because Jared Kelenic has also been set free, Stacy. He has been set free. And I think that when you're talking about Jared Kelenic, I think that there are two polarizing conversations to be had here with this player that we're definitely going to get into. But first off, this is an exciting day for Mariners fans. This is an exciting revelation for this ball club and where it's going and where they think it's going. And Jared Kelenic, as we talked about with Aaron Goldsmith yesterday, he said that this is the moment where 2021 is the moment between where the present meets the future. And this is that moment where you have guys that you feel like are going to be a part of your rebuilding process, and you're going to add a key, huge, massive piece of this in Jared Kelenic. And that, Stacy, is the starting point of when they expect the start of Jared Kelenic being on this big league roster is really the starting point for them feeling like they are going to turn the corner here and that they're not just rebuilding anymore. They're in rebuild mode, but that they're turning the corner here to actually competing and winning games and going towards that playoff contention, not necessarily for this season, but that really, you know, really strikes a moment that, hey, they are turning the corner and they are coming out of this rebuilding process.
Now is probably as good a time as any to tell you guys, to remind you guys, that we're going to have someone a pretty important on the show today to talk about this. The skipper, Scott Servais, joining us at 1:30. Shannon Dre are also going to be on with us. She's going to join us a little bit earlier than that at 1:15. So we'll have a little bit of time to kind of preview what this all means with Shannon. Then we're going to be joined by the skipper, Scott Servais. First question we're going to ask him, obviously, is going to be about the debut of Kelenic. So far, this is just reported. So far, there's no official confirmation from the team that this is the plan. And Jake, when you look at, you know, kind of the timeline of this news, initially it was so surprising to so many people, not because we weren't all expecting Kelenic to make his debut this year, but because no one was expecting it to be so soon. All of us had heard, well, look, he's got to get some development, right? I mean, you'd been heavy on the use of air quotes talking about it, but he needed to get development versus left-handed hitters, just needed to get a few more at-bats, and yet here he is about to make his debut. I mean, how are you feeling right now? You've got to be excited.
Oh, I am excited, but can we pump the brakes for a second?
Wait, because No, Jake.
Stacy,
you are not allowed to be this excited. You wanted Kelenic to break camp with the team a month ago.
I did, because I felt like he was ready for the show. I felt like Jared Kelenic is a unique player, is a unique talent, has a unique mental makeup, and that is also the belief of this organization as well. And this call-up is more of the ilk of Griffey, A-Rod, and Felix than it is any of the other major prospects that they have called up in their past and in their history, because the consensus is there. There is no in between from everybody in that organization about what they feel like Jared Kelnick can be. Much like everybody in the past about the Mariners organization felt like what Felix could be, what A-Rod and Griffey could be. And Jared Kelnick is a player that they have deemed can be a generational talent, a true superstar in Major League Baseball. And the question that I've had is, okay, if Jerry DePoto, if you're going to come out and you're going to say that this is about development, then okay, let's see how this developmental process goes, and you want to get him more at-bats, then okay, let's do it. I'm all in on that. But after calling him up for 1 week, you know what it got me thinking about, Stacey? It got me thinking about this monumental moment. You know, you had Scott Service talking about Jared Kelnick during the spring training here in cut number three, DJ.
But I've often said, I've dealt with minor league players, young players, for a long time before I got this job, that players will let you know when they're ready. They really will. And that's just not the physical part of the game. Go, keep going. Anyway.
And it's gone. Kelnick.
Sorry.
Takes it up and out.
Good day to hit here over in Mason. The ball is carrying. Good for him.
What do you see on that swing? I know you're busy talking to us.
Jake, it's the timing, and then it's also Service with the most measured baseball manager approach to a home run. Nope, that away. Keep it going.
Yeah.
There you go.
And he's sticking his head, you would do this, Kelnick. The moment that I said this, look, I think that when you look at his situation, he is a player that when the spotlight is the brightest, that's when he shines. And when he knows the eyes are on him, that's when he shines. And I think that when you talk about that moment and that statement from Scott Service, he will show us, and the young players will show us when they're ready. Well, Jared Kelnick has definitely done that. And when you looked at this process, I think that what happened there in spring training is everybody's got to remember he got hurt. He got hurt at one point in time. That delayed his process. That delayed his opportunity to show the team and everybody else that he can break camp with everybody. And it also cemented the idea that was already in that building that you wanted to manipulate his service time. And Kevin Mather just happened to say the quiet part out loud. Everybody knew that that's what the Mariners ultimately wanted to do. But I think that what Jared Kelnick was able to accomplish when he returned and was able to actually get in some real live game action at the AAA level, Stacey, he more than showed that he is ready for the big league stage. And that's ultimately why they end up bringing him up. And also, you know, service time manipulation. That has a factor.
Just a little pinch. Now, we're going to find out whether or not Kelnick is ready very, very soon either way. Speaking of that learning curve, Aaron Goldsmith, on with us yesterday, said maybe it doesn't exist for Kelnick, but we're going to find out. Cut two.
I think that learning curve is lessened for elite talents, right? I think Jared Kelnick certainly falls in that category. I think we're going to get a pretty good idea who Jared is within a few hundred plate appearances, maybe, once he steps foot in T-Mobile Park as a big leaguer. For other guys, it takes a little bit longer, and that's to be expected.
Now, there is little he's going to need to even have to do to kind of add a boost to this offense. Mariners offense right now, 30th in average at .204, 27th on base percentage, 25th in slugging, 6th highest strikeout percentage at 26.8. That's pretty much all veering from league average, even if league batting average is down and offenses are down around the league. It's been pretty abysmal for them, particularly on display against that series against the Rangers. But is it this is something that was brought up before. It's not a unique opinion. But is it unfair to expect this much from a prospect to come in? Like, the idea wasn't that Kelnick would come in and save you. The idea was that Kelnick can be one of the biggest difference makers for your organization on top of a foundation.
Correct. And that's the ideal situation. But here in cut number one, when you hear Jerry DePoto speak, and especially the last part of what he says in his comments, this is the part that, as you mentioned, Stacey, is the fear that you may have when it comes to Kelnick being brought up.
We're getting closer and closer. It's some part because we feel like he is making progress. It's some part because it's time to take a look at him, and that's coming sooner than later. It's also some part in that it might add a spark to our offense if we give him that opportunity.
What you should not be bringing Jared Kelnick up to try and spark your big league offense or lack thereof. This should be all about his process. This should be about the individual of Jared Kelnick. Why? Because he might be the most single important piece to this entire rebuilding process. He is Jerry DePoto's potential feather in the cap in terms of one of the best trades of all time it could potentially go down as. Jared Kelnick is the starter of this whole rebuild, from turning it from tearing it down to the studs to actually in signifying that you're ready to go and win games. And Jared Kelnick has to work out. And if Jerry DePoto is rushing this process, that is ill-advised in a major way, right? And that is the concern that you have with experience that Mariners have had in the past. Now, I am of the belief that Kelnick is ready for the moment. I am of the belief that he is a player that is very unique and different, and I think he mentally can handle it, and I think mentally he can rise to the challenge. But also, he is a uniquely talented batter. He is a guy that when he comes up to the plate, he has a very mature approach, and I think that he's gonna do well. And do I think that he's gonna tear the cover off the ball and it's gonna be without any failure? No, I don't believe that whatsoever. But I do think that he will be a great addition to this lineup. I just hope that it wasn't in desperation to try and quote unquote spark this offense.
And I mean, that aside, we're going to find out eventually, right? We're going to find out whether or not it was too early for Kelnick. He certainly looked ready, whether it was in spring training, whether it was in the, five games
Cheney
he played
Stadium,
in the minors.
Cheney Stadium, he looked the part, Stacey.
Congratulations,
watching him on Saturday.
Jake, you are one of a couple thousand people ever to have seen Jared Kelnick in the minors.
Yes.
And maybe that's will remain that low number. But look, here's the thing. This is why this is so exciting, so fascinating for so many fans. It's exactly what you pointed to, Jake. It's how much of this is going to impact DePoto's future, Service's future, their future with the Mariners. Not only do you have a guy coming in that is really kind of the pinnacle of your big plan, the linchpin of your plan moving forward, your promise to fans. Hey, you've been through 20 years of misery. You've had great moments, but 20 years of not making it to the playoffs. Let me tell you what, I'm selling you on this idea. This is the rebuild. We've got the right guys, and here's one of the two that we're really planning on. His name is Jared Kelnick. You're going to love him. Finally, that guy is making it up here. Not only is there a ton of excitement thinking, oh my gosh, what if this guy is a star that Seattle hasn't had in so long? But it also is going to completely shape the success of that promise and whether or not they can fulfill that promise. And look, I've seen so many people text in over the course of particularly the last year, but that has emphasized over the last month and a half, saying this team's been rebuilding for 20 years. They haven't. This is it. This is their rebuild, their first true rebuild. Finally, they can see if it's going to start paying off. Everything rides on Jared Kelnick's success, and we may see him actually step up to the plate for the first time on Thursday. Like, that may be happening, which is so much sooner than I thought it would be, and it is so hugely important for Mariners fans. Everything rides on this.
Right. It does. And I think that if Kelnick can come up, if he can, you know, unintentionally provide a spark to this roster, provide a spark to this lineup, and that you are able to start to lengthen out this lineup. You know, you have Mitch Haniger swinging the bat again, and you have Ty France finding his groove once again. J.P. Crawford, if he is able to not necessarily maintain this high-level play, you know, batting 300 over the last 2 weeks, but if he can stay around 250 to, you know, 260, and now you're talking about this lineup really lengthening out, and it could be a lot of fun. It could be a lot of fun here in a hurry. And, you know, one of the unique parts about it for Jared Kelnick in terms of this call-up, they did not call him up during an easy stretch. No. They called him up versus one of the more difficult stretches that this Mariners schedule has to offer in terms of playing against good quality playoff teams that are at the top of their respective divisions in baseball, in the AL. And so Kelnick's going to be thrown to the wolves here right away, and we'll see what he's made of.
All right. Once again, as a reminder, we're going to be having Scott Servais joining us later in the show, coming on at 1:30. We're having Mariners insider Shannon Dreyer joining us at 1:15. Mike Salk going to join us in about 15 minutes. Before any of that, though, it is 11:15. That means it's time for Three Questions, brought to you by Tila Mortgage.
It's time for Three Questions.
Can't wait for it.
Every day at 11:15, three burning questions for Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
That's the dumbest question you could ask.
What? So I think we all agree that Jared Kelnick can be considered the chosen one. Sorry, Harry Potter fans. He's the chosen one to say to save this franchise.
Attack, a personal attack.
And we look
Gen
at him.
Z.
We look at him as a prospect like Alex Rodriguez, who, by the way, in his first 50-ish games only hit like 230, even though we know what kind of career he ended up having. So I ask you guys this. What do we need to see from Jared Kelnick this season to determine that he is the one that will change this franchise?
It's not just going to be about the flashes, right? Jared Kelnick is going to provide the flashes, display his talent from time to time. It's going to be the consistency. Right. The other thing that we need to see from Jared Kelnick is how is he going to mesh and how is he going to mold in and fit in with this roster, with this locker room. Right. I mean, those are the things that you're going to have to look at with Jared Kelnick. That's going to be very, very important. And because if he can establish himself, not necessarily as a clear cut leader, but if he can establish himself as a positive, influential presence in that clubhouse, I think that is going to be an important aspect to this team, because they need some of that swagger, some of that confident energy in the clubhouse that I think will pay dividends for everybody else that's up there on the big league level right now.
Yeah, completely agree. I think it's also going to I'm looking at a big deciding factor of whether he can provide the spark or whether he's, quote, the chosen one, which is a very dramatic but fun kind of phrase to use here, is how he responds to big moments. So far, we've seen him have an uncanny ability to respond big in big moments. Jake pointed to it yesterday, highlighting that home run he had, highlighting the pair of home runs he had in his debut for the Rainiers. Now, if you know, don't have to go far through Mariners history to know that there have been a lot of high draft picks that haven't been able to provide that spark, that haven't been able to come out and meet those expectations. If he can come out and do that, it's a lot to ask, but that's what superstars do, right? Like, he's not going to come out and be batting 350 or some insane number. Like, he's not going to come out and be the best player in the league right away. If he comes out and responds in big moments, that's what you're waiting to see. Those players are rare, but you've been told that that's the kind of player he is.
Number two.
So as we talked about already in at the top of the hour, Jerry Dipoto did say last Thursday that he believes Jared Kelnick can provide a spark to the Mariners lineup. Let's say he does, best case scenario. Which current Mariners hitter will benefit the most from Kelnick's presence in the lineup?
The hitter that I think will benefit the most is going to be Evan White. Why? Because there might be a possibility of him being sent down to the to Tacoma to work on his swing. And I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Certainly, I think it's going to happen with Taylor Trammell. But those two guys, to me, if they were to be sent down, I think that those two are the winners in this situation, because they simply need time to develop. They need to be able to regain their confidence and to regain their swings again. Those two, for me, are front of mind when it comes to that conversation, and we'll see what ends up happening, if there's any correlating moves that are made. But that's something that I'm anticipating.
Who is it going to? Maybe by taking pressure off of the guys that have been called on to basically be the bulk of the offense. So Haniger, Seager, France, right? Guys that have been asked to like carry everything and put everything on their shoulders. Maybe having someone else bring a little bit of that takes just a little bit of pressure off.
Now, where do you think he hits? You know, where do you think Scott Servais is going to put him in on Thursday? Where does he hit in the lineup?
I mean, right? Do you go maybe? I can't tell if they'll start him late, like put him in a five spot, or just start him right away with, like, why not throw him in second? Why not? You know what I mean? Move Ty France back a bit, even though he's I don't want to say slumping. He's been like one of your best hitters, but he is, his last 15 games, not been doing exceptionally well. But I wouldn't be mad seeing him in the two spot at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't be either. I'll be curious to see, you know, what Servais' approach is if he tries to, guy, you know, ease him into the lineup and put him in the back of the order, or if he says, hey, young man, you're ready to go, we're going to put you right at the front at the beginning. And I think that that's going to be the one question that I think we'll all have here for Scott Service. But Jared Kelnick, to me, if he's hitting up in the front, I would love to see it.
Number three.
Okay, we're going to time travel here a little bit for this question. Go back to the September 9th, 2012, and compare Russell Wilson's debut to the eventual debut of Jared Kelnick. Which one had more hype around it?
Now, if everybody can go back in their time machine, I think everybody was blown away by the fact that Russell Wilson actually was making a legitimate competition in training camp. That he, every single preseason game, continued to keep improving and improving and improving and continuing to drive the Seahawks down and score and get more opportunities, starting from the third quarterback on the roster to becoming your eventual starter. But I do have to say that I think that you're looking at Jared Kelnick as overall, I think he has the biggest anticipation for his debut. When it's all said and done, there is a lot riding on Jared Kelnick, and he was deemed from the get-go as the guy that was going to turn this thing around. He was going to be the main piece of this rebuilding process. Russell Wilson was a very, very pleasant surprise.
Split answers on the Mac and Jax text line, 710-710. I'm going to go with the 509 right here, because it's how I feel about it. This is from the 509. Kelnick has more hype by far. Russ was never a top prospect. I think that's how I see it. It's all about the hype. Now, the reason that there was so much hype around Russell Wilson was A, he was a surprise story who had really impressed in the preseason, and B, because the nature of the NFL is that every game and every storyline is hyped up. You've got 16 of them. At least you did. That's going to change, but you've got 16 of them. So every game, you're going to be having a week-long conversation about maybe one thing, right? It's just the nature of the NFL. With baseball, you don't do that. You have 162 games. Like, you're not going to be talking about every single game and hyping it up. That said, there is more, I think, excitement, curiosity about what Kelnick can be for an organization, for a franchise that's just been starving for, I mean, a star, right, to come back in here. Jake, also on the text line, the Mac and Jax text line, someone needs to know what your hat says. It looks like someone's been trying to make it out for a while, and he says, I just see a circle. It's driving me crazy.
Well, I'll tell you this. It's it just says 710sports.com/video. From Hawaii. It's from the Waikoloa Beach Resort golf course. It was a nice hat, and it was only get this. It was only like $10. It was amazing.
Wow! No one
ever
asked.
Steal.
No one ever asks about my style. No one on the text line's ever like, "Where'd you get that shirt, Stacey?"
I got like two of these bad boys. I couldn't pass them up.
All right. So we have Mike Salk joining us next. As a reminder, I'm going to keep telling you guys this. We have Scott Service joining us at 1:30 today. Your first chance to hear from the skipper about Jared Kelnick, about everything else that's happening with this team. But obviously, Kelnick being the top story that we're talking about, that is coming up, coming your way in less than 2 hours at 1:30. Scott Service going to join us. Before we get to any of that, we're going to bring on Mike Salk, see what he has to say about whether or not he thinks Kelnick is being brought up too early or whether or not he's excited to see what the kid can bring. That's coming your way next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios,
streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Rost.
Why do I feel like this initially sounds like it's going to be Mike Salk, the detective? You know what I mean? I was getting detective vibes from this. Mike Salk joining us, brought to you by Jafco Plumbing and Sewer. Mike, can I read you? Obviously, we're going to talk about Kelnick, biggest story locally, but there is breaking news about another AL West team from Jeff Passan. The Oakland A's, this according to Passan, are going to start exploring relocation possibilities after MLB suggested the organization consider moving to other cities. So the top leading contender for a city, according to Passan, is Vegas as a relocation destination.
I love it.
Yeah?
Well, I mean, if you're in Oakland and you're trying to throw a little pressure on the politicians in that town, why not mention the exact city that the Oakland Raiders just left to go to? I think it makes a lot of sense. I've heard Vancouver is a possible destination. I'll believe all this when I see it. At the moment, they're still in the putting pressure on the government phase. Once they get through that, then I think we'll start taking the rest of this more seriously. But, Yeah, look, Stacey's a big day. Las Vegas, Oakland, Vancouver. I mean, let's talk about the real city that's having a big day today, which is New York. Jared Kelnick, former New York Mets prospect, is going to be making his debut this week, and it's got the National Baseball Writers all on Twitter because a former Mets prospect is going to be coming
up. That's right.
Up.
That's right, because in baseball, it only matters if it happens in New York. If it's just on the East Coast, that there's any connection or storyline, then we're there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's funny. It doesn't have anything to do with him being a Mariner
or
helping the Mariners.
He's not
He's
a Mariner.
An ex-Met.
He's an ex-Met.
He's an ex-Met.
He's
That's
an
right.
Ex-Met. And not a Yankee, because the Yankees would never do this.
Correct. Exactly right. But speaking about this ex-Met here, Salk, what do you make of this? I mean, because to me, Jerry DePoto talking about development, talking about how he needs more at-bats, how he needs more at-bats against lefties. And if that is the belief,
he just needed
okay,
one.
I'm all on board.
He just needed the one.
I am on board.
But then we have a week. By the way, I got to see one of those games on Saturday, which I'm very happy about. And after a week, now his development doesn't matter, or that he completed the development. Can you sort this for me?
Because
I'm having a hard time with this.
I am too. Jake, believe me, I was having some challenge with it also. Here's what I think happened, and we talked about this in the podcast, which will come out tonight. My belief is that DePoto and the rest of his group, the Brain Trust, were planning to have this take longer. And then they watched him and were like, yeah, he's just ready. Like, if they were waiting to see how he failed, waiting to see how, you know, I think they looked at it and were like, yeah, he's not going to learn anything in AAA. He's just better than them, right? Like, if you were to watch a 12-year-old playing under 7 baseball, and you're like, yeah, he's better than them. Like, there's nothing to be learned here. You can see it instantly. And my guess is that's how this went down, that over the course of the last month in both extended spring training and now in Tacoma, you just watch him, you're like, yeah, he's just too good for this. Sorry.
Well, to fit that storyline and to fit Jared Kelnick and how he's been since he's been in this minor league organization, I don't think there's a better moment that highlights this than in cut number 3.
But I've often said I've dealt with minor league players, young players, for a long time before I got this job. But players will let you know when they're ready. They really will. And that's just not the physical part of the game. Go, keep going. Anyway.
And it's gone, Kelnick.
Sorry,
it's takes it up and out.
Good day to hit here over in Mesa. The ball is carrying. Good for him.
What do you see on that swing? I know you're busy talking to us.
He'll let you know when he's ready.
Scott saying attaway is my favorite part. It's just the most low-key. Nope, attaway.
Yeah. And you know in his head, he's thinking, you son of a gun. Like, I can't believe that you just did that. Of course you would. But that's kind of Jared Kelnick's MO, right? I mean, he's really fast-tracked through the minors, and not because they've tried to, but because he's just been so dang good.
But let me even just, you know, add on to that. And, hey, it's hype time, right? Jared Kelnick's about to come up here. This is the time to hype him up.
Yes.
There is like, great baseball players tend to have that flair for the moment. They tend to do the things that just supersede reality, right? And not to make this about Northeast baseball teams again, but take a look at some of the real heroes of the last 20 years or so, and Derek Jeter and David Ortiz. They have that flair for that exact moment, right? He couldn't possibly, oh yes, he did it again. Right? I mean, like, those moments of Jeter going into the stands, or the flip play to get Jeremy Giambi, or Ortiz's various game-winning home runs or comeback home runs in big moments, they just have a flair for the exact moment, the exact right time where their blood pressure drops and everybody else's goes up. So to see Jared Kelnick time his home run to the exact second that Scott Servais is saying baseball players will tell you when they're ready, I'm not surprised about it. I'm not surprised at all, and I hope that's exactly what we're going to get from him, which is that timing where he comes up with the biggest plays in the biggest moment. Will it shock me if he homers in his first at-bat? No. Will it shock me if he hits a game-winning hit to walk it off on night one? No. Doesn't mean he's going to turn out to be a superstar, but he does seem to be one of those kids who just has dramatic, interesting, crazy moments that surround him.
I like you moving it in that direction, though, with like, well, that is what the expectation is. I feel like it's been a while since Seattle Mariners fans have seen a star, or rather had expectations of a superstar.
Well,
I mean, like, really a superstar. And I know that it's unfair to put the expectations of fixing a bad offense on the back of a 21-year-old. At the same time, though, isn't that what makes a superstar? Not fixing the offense, but coming in and being genuinely really good.
He's got the personality to go with it, that's for sure. You know, this is tough. The Mariners have had some really good prospects in the last few years. I mean, whether he turned out to be great or not, Jesus Montero was a top prospect in baseball, top three, top five. I mean, he was one of the best prospects in baseball. And a few years later, he and a scout are arguing over throwing ice cream at each other. I mean, like, things went downhill fast for him. Dustin Ackley was a top prospect. Justin Smoke was a top prospect. So he's not unique, but I will grant you, this feels much more like Felix, much more like A-Rod, much more like Griffey than it does any of those other guys I just mentioned. And what makes it perhaps better than those guys, not that he'll be better, is that there are three or four players still to come that have the ability to supersede him. That's how good Julio Rodriguez could be. That's how good Emerson Hancock could be. That's how good Logan Gilbert could be. That they're capable, at least, of superseding this kid, and this kid could be at the Felix Griffey A-Rod level.
So, Salk, one of the big aspects of this, too, is now the Mariners have essentially hit the start button. They've hit the start clock on fan expectation, on turning this from, okay, we're rebuilding, and now we are coming out on the other side of this, and we are wanting to now change the expectations of winning and competing and going after the playoffs and things of that nature. Not here in 2021,
right? You're not at
but
that
just
point
moving.
Yet.
You're not at that point, but you're moving towards that. You've hit that that start time.
Yeah.
And now, what is that going to do to guys like Logan Gilbert and Cal Raleigh, for example? That's my next question, because those two guys, if they keep performing at a consistently high level at AAA, does their timeline get changed at all?
I hope not. I hope it doesn't do anything. I hope that they're in the same boat. You bring them up when the time is right for them, not when they're not when they're needed in the big leagues. You said it yourself. You still don't need to win in 21. So when the time is right for those guys, when they are fully baked, when the little popper is popped, that's when they should be brought up and you get an opportunity to see them. But I will absolutely agree, you're on to phase two. Right, phase one was the very beginning of tearing down and building up and stockpiling. Phase two is getting a chance to see some of your new toys. Phase three will be down the road, and that's taking those toys and adding what you need around them to turn yourself into a World Series contender. But right now is the beginning of phase two, where you get a chance to play with the toys. This is awesome.
He is Mike Salk, part of the Brock and Salk podcast. You can listen to the new episode tonight, brockandsalkpodcast.com. And if you subscribe to it, it'll automatically download on your phone, so you can go do that too. Thanks, Mike.
See you guys.
All right, there's a new list from Vegas of the most wagered teams to win this year's Super Bowl. The Seahawks, not in the top five, but two other NFC West teams are. We'll tell you who they are next on Jake and Stacey.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
Number three prospect in baseball, Jared Kelnick, reportedly being called up to play for the Mariners, making his MLB debut on Thursday. That's according to Jeff Passan, a report that came out yesterday. Passan. Don't worry about it, Jake. Look, here's the thing. I'm getting sidetracked because I'm salty still. I'm salty that you went to the Rainiers game and they asked you to do their little this or that game in the fifth inning, and I didn't get to play the game, and it's throwing me off. It's throwing my game off.
Stacey, don't deflect. We've talked about this. Passan, not Passan. You try
to. You know
to
how I turn
you
names.
Always
I Frenchify
French.
Names. I always
you
Frenchify
do.
Names. I can't help it. I can't help who I am. By the way, you guys, we are taking you around the diamond thanks to Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. The Mariners, or as they say in France, the Mariners, begin a two-game series against the Los Angeles Dodgers tonight. Yusei Kikuchi will get the start. First pitch at 7:10 p.m. Pre-game show starting at 6 p.m. right here on 710 ESPN Seattle. And that's Around the Diamond, brought to you by Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. Jake, do you think that the Rainiers would ask me to do one of the games, too?
I'm sure they would love that. So yeah. I mean, you could go there and see what happens. I mean, I think it would be great. I mean,
it's not desperate, right? Like it's totally low key.
No,
like,
not
it's
at all.
Like I don't care. I'm just kind of putting it out.
Yeah,
there,
so. I mean, totally. Yeah, totally. No, not at all.
Okay. Now we are going to take a very quick break. We're going to have MLB.com Mariners reporter Daniel Kramer joining us at the top of the hour. Before we get to that, Jake, I have some news for you. Some updated Vegas odds have come in. Now the Buccaneers have been the odds on favorite to win the Super Bowl again for a while. That's not at all weird. They returned all 22 starters from that Super Bowl team. They just won a Super Bowl. Oh, and also, they're a dominant team in the NFC right now. So they get it, right? Kansas City Chiefs, number 2. 1-2. Makes sense. 2 Super Bowl teams get the odds-on favorites to win the Super Bowl. The Seahawks, not in the top 5, but 2 teams from the NFC West are. They're number 3 and number 5. Guess who they are?
Really? Okay. Yes. Well, obviously, there's no way that Cliff Kingsbury could be above the Seattle Seahawks. There's no way.
Nope.
So I am going to say that it's the 49ers and the Rams.
Correct. The 49ers, number 3 most wagered team to win the Super Bowl, and the Rams, number 5. Here's my question for you. How far away are the Seahawks from being a legit Super Bowl contender? Now, these are Vegas odds. This is where the money's going. It's not like football mm-hmm. experts that are looking at these teams thinking the 49ers have the 3rd highest odds. It's just where the money's being placed. So it makes sense. Like your top, number 3 pick on a quarterback, they get healthier. The Rams are always going to be a favorite there. But there's some disrespect for Seattle here, right?
Well, I mean, I think that also you look at the NFC NFC wildcard game, and that is fresh in people's minds as well. The brutal performance that the Seahawks had against the Rams, and you look at the Rams, they improved their quarterback position by getting in Matt Stafford, and there's a lot of hype around that, and how big of an upgrade that truly will be for the Rams, I think has been slightly overstated, but I do think it will make them better offensively. You look at the 49ers and them getting their defense back. They're getting their talent on the front line, right? Their defensive line, one of the better defensive lines in all of football. Add Trey Lance to the mix and the excitement and the talent that he could potentially be paired together with Kyle Shanahan. So I just think that overall, there's more hype to the moves that the 49ers and the Rams have made. They're more splash moves. They're more drastic moves. Whereas the Seahawks, what they've done is they made their splash move last year, Jamal Adams. They then went out and tweaked their roster essentially this year. They made changes. And if you look at some of those changes, Stacey, if you believe that Gabe Jackson is going to be a legitimate big-time upgrade over Mike Iupati, who was on the last season, poor guy, at that point, he was just completely injury-ridden. He couldn't get on the field. That's a very positive upgrade to your offensive line. Is Gerald Everett a more dynamic playmaker and is going to be more utilized in this offense than Greg Olsen was at 35 years old? Do you believe that Dwayne Eskridge has more big playability in him than David Moore? I think that you look at those little changes and tweaks defensively, right? You look at the defensive line and what they've been able to add. Does Kerry Hyder, who had 10.5 sacks a year ago, does he make that big transition? Does Daryl Taylor getting healthy, does he help this group? So you look overall at what they've done. They've made little tweaks, not necessarily splash moves, but I think those tweaks are the difference for this organization to get over the hump, and offensive coordinator being one of them as well. So I just think that in terms of Vegas odds and why people are putting their money the way they are, I think that the splash moves have something to do with it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's not that every team doesn't also have its own obstacles to overcome in the NFC West, right? 206 texting in from the Mac and Jacks text line, 710-710. 49ers lost their stud defensive coordinator. You're absolutely right. He goes on to be the head coach of the Jets. The Rams also losing their defensive coordinator, Brandon Staley, moves on to the Chargers. So you've got 2 top defensive coordinators coaching the number 5 and number 1, respectively, defenses in the NFL last year. We've got a couple minutes here. Jake, when you look at the rest, I think both of us agree Most important thing you can do, get through the NFC West. It'll be the toughest division in football. Not only that, but the more dominant you are in this division, the more it'll play into your own power ranking in the NFC, in the NFL as a whole, right? If you're dominating the Rams, dominating the 49ers, and the Cardinals, you're going to be seen as a legit contender because those are really good teams. Even the number, presumably, four Arizona Cardinals, still a really good team. They've still got Hopkins. They've added J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones. You look at the landscape of the rest of the NFC right now. I mean, no one knows what the Saints will look like without Breeze. There's no way that Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill have his accuracy or experience. They've still got a stacked talent or a roster on offense. What are they going to look like? Are the Packers even going to have Aaron Rodgers? There's all kinds of questions with these existing contenders.
Yes. Yes, there are. I mean, it's crazy to think about. And, you know, is the NFC East going to get better, or are they going to be the doldrums of the NFL yet again? I think that they have a chance as a division to legitimately improve. And I'm looking at the Washington football team. I'm looking at the Dallas Cowboys. I'm looking at the Giants. I think that they have good things going on, good things brewing in terms of the talent that's within
that division.
There's
nowhere to go for the NFC East but up.
Yeah, true. Very, very true. That division is pure chaos just simply because of the of how abysmal it has been. But overall, I do agree. If Aaron Rodgers leaves the Green Bay Packers, that changes completely the dynamic that you see in terms of the hierarchy in the NFC, and it does really come down to the Tampa Bay Bucks and what happens in the NFC West. So I think that for Seattle, you have to feel like, have you made the improvements to be able to compete within your division, to be able to withstand the talent and the defensive play and the speed on offense that you are going to face? And I think that when you're looking at John Schneider, Pete Carroll, and the rest of the coaching staff, they feel very excited about what they have done, and they feel very, very good about their roster. And guess what, Stacey? As I've said before, they are not done making moves.
All right, we are getting back to the Mariners. Daniel Kramer of MLB.com going to join us. Plus, we've got Scott Servais and Shannon Dreher coming your way later in the show. It is all coming up next on Jake and Stacey.